The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ava Lewis from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. Our first article is from the Tribute section, entitled The Queen of Our Dynasty. The award-winning actress, persistence in breaking barriers, made her a pioneer on stage and screen. She looked fabulous doing it. Farewell, Diane Carroll. Diane Carroll was the very picture of talent and glamour, elegant and grace. Not only did she epitomize each of these adjectives, she also gave us so much more. On stage, in the movies, on the small screen, on records, in literature, as she once noted, it was her destiny to be the center of attention. If I hadn't become an entertainer, I would have had to make some noise in some other arena, she explained. I've always had an enormous need to be seen and heard. While she's often been credited as the first Black actress to lead a prime time network series, in fact, her resume was already miles long before she donned the nurse's cap in Julia, which premiered on NBC in 1968. She got her professional start as a model, then went on to record albums, sing on stages across the globe, star on Broadway, and conquer the worlds of film and television. But before the success and accolades, including Tony Award for No Strings and a coveted Oscar nomination for her role in Claudine, she was just a Harlem girl with big dreams. She was born during the summer of 1935, and her parents blessed their surprise baby with the name Carol Diane Johnson. Armed with confidence, drive, and a sense of personal style, all gifts from her mother, she made her big screen debut at 19 in Carmen Jones, and later landed a role in the film version of Porgy and Bess. More stage work followed, then more film work, and as always, television. She remained a welcome presence on the small screen, and when she served fashion, face, and every angle of attitudes as the ever-fabulous Dominique Devereaux on Dynasty, we could not turn away. That role introduced her to yet another audience, as did her scene-stealing turn as Whitley Gilbert's mother, Marion, on A Different World, and later on, her role in Soul Food and Grey's Anatomy. Throughout her career, she was a vision of elegance. From the outside peering in, she was flawless, but her journey wasn't always as easy as it looked. She was married 4 times and confessed to wishing she'd slow down her pace a bit to enjoy more precious time as a mother to her only child, Suzanne. She also battled breast cancer. However, as she noted in her 2008 memoir, The Legs Are the Last to Go, she did her best and she showed up for each and every performance, and each and every wedding, for that matter. I was always on time, always prepared, and always, always coiffed and dressed. Though her passing marks the end of an era of old Hollywood glam, we will always remember Miss Carroll as the consummate class act. She wouldn't have it any other way. Diane Carroll, 1935 through 2019. Essence honored Diane Carroll in 2009 with a Black Women in Hollywood Award. During her speech, Carol, then 73, gave the invite-only room a bit of wisdom for her early days in the business. When I was presented with my dinner for Julia at the home of one of the studio executives, everyone in the industry came because they wanted to see who was this little colored girl from New York City, she said. Always, we're going to meet people who come to us out of their package, and it could be very limited, and don't let it disturb you in any way. Just say, oh, another limited one. My mother always said to me, be kind. When you find it, be kind. Recognize it. And the height of us is that we deal with only what we have to deal with. The rest of it, you put over there and say, that's not my problem. And it has nothing to do with my work. The next article that we will cover is from the tribute section. And it's titled, We Remember. This year, we said goodbye to many luminaries we loved on stage and pages. Here are a few. Christoph St. John, February 3rd. This star in The Young and the Restless died at 52 from heart disease. John Singleton, April 29th. The director's passing at age 51 left a void in Hollywood. James Ingram, January 29th, at age 66, the two-time Grammy winner took his leave. October 17th, at age 68, Elijah Cummings, the courageous and esteemed congressman and civil rights advocate, passed away. Nipsey Hussle, March 31st, murdered at 33, the Los Angeles rapper, known for his positive impact, was widely mourned. Cameron Boyce, July 6, the Disney Network star, passed away at the tender age of 20 after suffering a seizure in his sleep. Bushwick Bill, June 9, following a battle with pancreatic cancer, the Ghetto Boys rapper died at 52. LaShawn Daniels, September 3rd. At 41, the Grammy-winning songwriter was fatally injured in a car accident. Jesse Norman, September 30th. The trailblazing five-time Grammy Award-winning opera singer died at 74. Paul Marshall, August 12th. The author of Brown Girl, Brownstones and Other Classics died at 90. John Witherspoon, October 29th. The comedian, the comedy legend, who was 77, was known for roles in the Friday franchise, Boomerang, The Boondocks, and The Wayans Brothers. Kevin Barnett, January 22nd. The 32-year-old comedy writer and co-creator of Real succumbed to pancreatitis. Toni Morrison, August 5th, awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1993. Morrison also won a Pulitzer for her 1988 novel, Beloved. The renowned writer was 88. Next, we will go to the trending topics. The first trending topic is a response to rage. Los Angeles-born visual artist Mr. Wally has done it again. Known as the talent behind Barack Obama's famed presidential portrait, he's now giving the world another image to revere. Rumors of War, which was unveiled in New York City's Times Square in September, is a sculptural depiction of a kingly black man with locks riding triumphantly on a horse. The figure presents a stark contrast to the Confederate statues that have been long a symbol of oppression for African Americans. This month, the stately monument moves from Midtown Manhattan to its permanent location in Richmond, where it will be placed near the entrance to the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts. The second item that's trending is Remembering Toni. Toni Morrison revolutionized the American literary canon, starting with her first novel, The Bluest Eye. Now, months after the author's passing, a new book draws from the Pulitzer and Nobel Peace Prize winner's body of work, The Measure of Our Lives, a gathering of wisdom, is a collection of quotes that explore such themes as the power of women, the sin of slavery, and the art of Black people. The compilation hits stores in December. The third trending topic, All Hail the Queen. In 2018, I Am Queen Mary became the first public monument to a Black woman in Denmark's history. Now a scaled replica of the striking statue, created in tribute to a 19th century rebel queen who revolted against Danish colonial rule on the island of St. Croix, has settled in New York City. In October, artists LaVon Bell and Jeanette Ehlers, both of whom are of Caribbean ancestry, erected the regal figure at Barnard College in Manhattan. The fourth trending item, Down for the Cause. New data from the Super Majority Education Fund reveals that women are increasingly taking on social issues to achieve gender equality. 3/4 of those surveyed expressed an interest in joining a women's equality organization. Researchers found that women are particularly energized to fight sexual harassment, workplace discrimination, and broken healthcare system. The fifth trending topic, creating a curator pipeline. Atlanta's HBCU trifecta, better known as the AUC, is developing the next generation of Black museum curators and art historians. During the fall semester, Spelman, Morehouse, and Clark Atlanta began offering students degrees in the subject. According to a 2015 study, roughly 70% of the country's museum directors identified as non-Hispanic, white. The AUC hopes to change that with this program. Number 6, item that is trending, is actually a quote. If I hadn't become an entertainer, I would have had to make some noise in some other arena. I've always had an enormous need to be seen and heard. Diane Carroll, singer, actress, and activist. July 17th. 1935 through October 4th, 2019. Number seven, the seventh item that's trending, a case for gun control. The rate at which Americans have lost their lives to gun-related injuries increased by 14% from 2015 to 2017, according to a team at the University of Michigan that compiled information from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to assess the worsening epidemic of firearm mortality. New York, California, and Washington, D.C., all of which boast strict gun laws, witnessed a decline in firearm deaths during the same period. Number 8, breathing solutions. Asthma-related deaths in the Black community are significantly higher when compared with that of whites. A new study published in the New England Journal of Medicine suggests that the cause is a lack of African Americans, inclusion in clinical trials addressing the condition. As a result, Black adults and children required an escalated dosage of steroids more often. The study underlined the need for varied treatments and greater Black participation in clinical studies. The ninth trending topic, leading the charge. California is taking bold steps to help curb the rate of HIV infection. This fall, Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation to make PrEP, post-exposure prophylaxis, which can be taken daily to prevent HIV, available to Californians over the counter. Proponents of this bill say that the measure will greatly reduce the spread of the disease. According to the CDC, new HIV infections remain higher among African Americans than any other race or ethnicity. The 10th thing that's trending is setting boundaries. New York City legislatures are pushing for a new benchmark in police accountability. Reintroduced in September, the Excessive Use of Force Prevention Act, dubbed the Eric Garner Anti-Chokehold Act, would set a national standard that clearly defines what constitutes excessive force by cops. The next article is from the leadership section, entitled Tough Love. In her new memoir, Susan Rice gets candid about lessons she's learned from serving in the Obama administration and how we can reclaim the White House. Susan Rice, the former National Security Advisor to President Barack Obama and U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, released her memoir, Tough Love, My Story of the Things Worth Fighting For, in October. A New York Times bestseller, it's an inspiring and vulnerable account of the joys and trials of living a life of service as a Black woman while helping to shape President Obama's foreign policy. With her signature candor and incisive analysis, Rice tells behind-the-scenes tales about headline events in our country and in the world, including Edward Snowden leaks, the U.S. response to Rwandan genocide, the crisis in Syria, and Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election. In Tough Love, Rice also details how her being vivaciously scapegoated in the aftermath of the 2012 Benghazi attack had a detrimental impact on her family, particularly on the mental health of her then nine-year-old daughter, Maris, who experienced stress-induced hallucinations after seeing her mother constantly vilified. Through revelations like these, the book compellingly weaves the personal and the public together to cover Rice's life. Rice is frank about how her Caribbean American background and growing up in D.C. formed her, and reveals how her parents' painful divorce affected her later relationship with husband Ian Cameron, even as she balanced being a mother with being a dedicated public servant. Most of all, Rice's tome offers hope amid the ongoing chaos of the Trump era. It's illuminating to read about a time in which public officials may have been flawed and made honest mistakes, But when cruelty and self-interest weren't the point, it's inspiring to hear her speak warmly of her years in the Obama administration with her colleagues truly wanted to make a difference. The appeal of Rice's narrative is that it reminds us what a government looks like when it isn't falling apart at the seams. And it shows us what decency looks like in a true public servant. Rice spoke to Essence about her memoir, including what citizens can do to combat the Trump administration's destructive policies and how growing up in the nation's capital made her the woman she is today. The section titled Shining Stars, the first one is Rihanna, richest female musician in the world. When she sang a song, Riri was not playing. With a $600 million fortune, Rihanna is the world's richest female musician, blowing by Madonna, $570 million, Celine Dion, $450 million, and Beyonce, $400 million, according to Forbes. A fashion icon, cosmetics entrepreneur, philanthropist, and actress, the Barbados-born goddess co-owns Fenty Beauty with LVMH, the French luxury goods giant run by billionaire Bernard Arnault. The brand launched at Sephora in 2017 to rave reviews and was soon followed by Savage X Fenty, a lingerie line created for the female gaze, not the male gaze. Essence wrote, although in 2019 had its fair share of ups and downs, Black women proved that there is no obstacle we can't overcome. In Lucille Clifton's poem, Won't You Celebrate With Me, the Pulitzer Prize-nominated scribe evokes the beautiful struggle of being a Black woman, digging deep to unearth the power, brilliance, and resilience that lies within, even as we hold and nurture in a world in which we are seemingly not meant to survive. In this meaningful context, Essence invites you to come celebrate with us. Come celebrate our triumphs in the face of adversity. Celebrate with us the fact that every day the forces that tried to destroy us have failed. Celebrate the beauty that we've molded out of clay and starshine. Come celebrate as we share good news and good times. Number two of the Shining Stars, Susan Burton. After her 5-year-old son, Markel, was killed in a hit-and-run in 1981, Burton self-medicated with crack cocaine to help deal with her grief. For nearly 20 years, she struggled with addiction, cycling in and out of prison on non-violent drug charges before deciding upon being released the sixth time that she would not be returning. Hailed as a modern-day Harriet Tubman by the new Jim Crow author Michelle Alexander, Burton transformed her home into a refuge for women recently released from prison, offering them a place to heal and start over. Since her organization, A New Way of Life Reentry Project, was born in 1998, it has helped more than 1,000 women. For her tremendous efforts, California Governor Gavin Newsom pardoned Burton this past August. Number three of the Shining Stars, From Foster Care to Spelman. New Yorker Tiana Barnwell overcame a lifetime of hardship to realize her dream of attending Spelman, the historically black women's college in Atlanta. After being abused at home as a teen, she was placed in her aunt's custody. But the effects of the trauma remained, and Barnwell acted out, hoping someone would notice her pain. Someone did. The New York Fondling, a noted social service organization in the city, connected her with a therapist and tutors. She received a political science degree from Spelman in May and is now an analyst at Goldman and Sachs. Number four, Allison Felix. If the Olympian skills are extragalactic, then her determination and resilience are universe bending. At the IAAF World Championships in Doha, Qatar, just 10 months after giving birth to her daughter, Cameron, by emergency C-section, Felix became the only athlete, man or woman, to win 12 gold medals, surpassing Usain Bolt as the holder of the most world championship gold medals in history. She went on to win her 13th gold in the 4x400 meter relays, and her daughter was there to watch. Number five, Oprah Winfrey. The media mogul donated $13 million to Morehouse College in October, topping the previous $12 million that she had gifted to the historically black men's college 30 years ago. The $25 million total is the largest endowment in the school's history. In 1989, Winfrey, the world's first black woman billionaire, established the Oprah Winfrey Endowment Scholarship Program at Morehouse. She is now the institution's top individual donor for endowed scholarship. Her program has funded the education of about 600 scholars. Number six, Lupita Sulwe. The Oscar winner's triumphant debut children's book, Sulwe, illustrated by Vashti Harrison, tenderly honors dark-skinned children everywhere. This is five-year-old me. Ngoni's caption and Instagram photo on October 1st. I reflected on this little girl's feelings and fantasies. I wanted to hold up a mirror for her. I had all of these windows into the lives of people who looked nothing like me, chances to look into their worlds, but I didn't have any mirrors. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you have enjoyed it, and be sure to join us again next time. I am Avra Lewis, and I am reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. You have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast by visiting the website ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions, call 919-832-5138.